And we welcome the uncounted throngs of you who share this hour on radio and on television. You're now part of our wonderful First Baptist Church in Dallas. And this is the pastor bringing the message entitled, Building a Great Home Base. Our text is in the first letter that Paul wrote. It was to Thessalonica. And in the first chapter and 8th verse, he says, For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in the Roman province of Macedonia, where they lived, but also in Achaia. The capital of it was Athens. And in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we don't have to say anything. Everybody knows about you and your marvelous devotion to the gospel of Christ. Building a great home base. If it disintegrates at home, if it is weakened at home, it is weakened everywhere. And if it is lost at home, it is lost everywhere. For something like 35 or 40 years, I used to go all over this world on preaching missions. I can hardly believe it now. 1 year, I took 4 months off at one time in a preaching mission around the world, culminating in an extensive series of crusades throughout the great cities of Japan. Naturally, looking and seeing and sharing and preaching, I observed many, many things, and one was this. That if you lost your witness at home, you lose it throughout the whole world in which you live. For example, in Jerash, on the other side of the Jordan River, a city in Roman days of a population of 200,000, and it became solidly Christian, ministered to all that part of the world. Lost its witness, died. If you go there today, you'll see Roman ruins, but especially you'll find the remains of 13 dead churches, and the whole area is lost to Christ. There was a day that came where there's not a Christian in Jerash. At one time, the 200,000 population was solidly Christian. Now, there are no Christians in existence there. The seven churches of Asia. In the second chapter of the Apocalypse, our Lord says to the church at Ephesus, You turn, and you do the first works, else I will come and remove thy lampstand out of its place. You go to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea. Go to those seven churches. There's not a vestigial remnant that you can find of them. And the entire earth there, the entire Asia Minor, is not only non-Christian, it is anti-Christian. I was in India when they were closing down the mission stations founded by William Carey himself, the father of modern missions. After that, I was in Kettering, seeking the church from which William Carey had been sent out. You couldn't find it. A historian guided me to the place. The church was a warehouse. Went inside of it, they were hammering crates and nailing boxes. And I asked where the baptistry was, and they said, it's underneath the floor where the workmen are at their tasks. Lose the witness there. Lose it everywhere. There was a time, about a century and a half ago, when the Baptist work in Baltimore, Maryland was flourishing. Great missionary-minded congregations. but they didn't win the lost around them. You go there and try to find those churches. They don't even exist. I so well remember in Louisville, Kentucky, the Broadway Baptist Church, where every president of the seminary belonged. A great congregation. It's a parking lot now. A vacant parking lot. Never occurred to them to build facilities for children and young people and adults and the throngs around them that were lost. When we lose it here, it's lost everywhere. That's why it is so vital where God has placed us to pour our very lives into a ministry of the people to which we belong. In the glorious opportunities that God hath given to our dear people, right there is that 505 North Irby building that you saw on the screen. I can't believe this, nor can any other real estate agent in this part of creation. We bought that building for $9.23 a square foot, that beautiful 11-story building pressed against our property. In front of the church, that building right there, they built it at a cost of $300 a square foot, and we bought that building for $9.23 a square foot. You can't decorate your house for $9.25 a square foot. It's a miracle what God has done for us. And we are beginning to expand our ministry to the young people. We have a youth building right there, the Ruth Ray Hunt Ruth building. They fill it from top to bottom. There's not an inch in the building where they can expand. We can now, placing our adult ministries over there in that 505 building, make opportunity to reach these young people. Last Sunday, on one of the front pages of the Dallas News, there was a picture of a brilliant young man. I mentioned him at the early service. I wrote him a little note. That young fella, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Samuel Warren baptized him. And he came to me after the service at the 8:15 hour and told me how much he appreciated my sending him a little note and how I was proud of him. It's a glorious ministry, the ministry to those young people. And the Filipino chapel is moving over there. All the rest of those chapels are moving over there. It is a glorious thing that God has done for us. Then, of course, our Dallas Life Foundation. I do not know anywhere in the earth a remembrance of the poor and the helpless and the homeless comparable to that ministry there. It is an amazing thing to me. That building is a block long. It is half a block wide. It has a full basement. It has 3 full stories above it. And they minister to thousands and thousands of the poor and the homeless. I can't believe that God is making possible for us to have it. I have been in London and looked where William Booth started and founded the Salvation Army. I have been in Lower Manhattan at the Bowery Mission in New York City. I've been at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago where Billy Sunday was converted. I've been in them in Los Angeles and San Francisco. I've been in them all over this world. There's not anything like that I've ever seen in the earth comparable. And God is making it possible for us to possess it, to minister in the name of Christ to those poor and helpless and homeless people. And what could I say about our Christian college. It is unique. There's nothing like it I know of in the earth. We have many colleges and many universities, and they teach every subject to which you might be interested. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to be a businessman, they teach all kinds of things. This is the only college I know of in creation that does one thing only, and that is it teaches those preachers the inerrant word of God in Greek and Hebrew and in homiletics and in systematic theology. And it teaches the missionary how to win people to Christ. And it teaches young people who are interested in being staff members of a church. It has one dedication alone, and that is to prepare for the gospel ministry in the house and family of the Lord. It is wonderful. Nothing like it in the earth. A man was asked about a week ago. He was asked, "What'd you do last week?" "Oh," he said, last week, I distributed Bibles in South Korea on Monday. And on Tuesday, I conducted a service in Japan. And on Wednesday, I helped build a church in the Philippines. And on Thursday, I preached the gospel in the Amazon jungle of Brazil. And on Friday, I distributed tracts in West Africa. And on Saturday, I was down in the Rio Grande Valley helping in the ministry down there. And on Sunday, last Sunday, I was preaching the gospel in 31 chapels of our dear church here in the city of Dallas. And the man to whom he was making reply said, "You're mocking! You're jesting!" And the other man replied, "Not so. I did it all last week. I gave a gracious gift to our preachers' college, and those graduates are out there at the end of the earth doing God's work in God's name for God's people." That's an amazing thing. It's a remarkable thing. I have copied here, and don't take time to read it, all those passages in the Old Testament that speak of the school of the prophets, the sons of the prophets. And I have here, it says in the book of Acts that Paul taught, preached in the school of Tyrannus. And all of those things in the New Testament that concern the ministry of teaching. It is glorious. It's incomparable. It's something God has done for us. It is marvelous. I live in East Dallas. In the papers, you'll read about West Dallas. All kinds of things going on all the time. You'll do likewise reading about South Dallas. I never hear East Dallas referred to. They took a census in East Dallas and found 80,000 lost people. 80,000 lost people in East Dallas, where I live. I drive through it every day. Who pays any attention to it? Who's sensitive to it? Who bothers to ask God about it? 80,000 lost people in East Dallas. When we move that college of ours into that campus on Gaston Avenue in East Dallas, every day of the world, we're going to have services over there preaching the gospel. We're going to knock at those doors. We're going to visit those people. We're going to ask God to give us their souls. The Dallas Life Foundation is now a ministry to feed the poor, to house them, to take care of them. When we possess it, it's going to be a life-saving station. We're going to take those young preachers, and not only will they be out in East Dallas, they'll be there in that Dallas Life Foundation holding services all day long, every day of the year, and every evening and night, every night of the year, reaching out for the souls of these who are lost. the most incomparable open door God could ever have set before us. This week, I received a letter. It is signed by 11 wonderful pastors in our Southern Baptist Zion. It is an appeal for support for that Christian preacher school. And here is a paragraph. Consider the following facts about Criswell College. The school is only 15 years old, but it already has 450 graduates who are in staff positions. Currently, 380 students are enrolled in preparing for the ministry. No Baptist university in America, and I want to expatiate on that, there is no school in the earth, there's no college or university in the earth that has as many ministerial students as we do. Not in the earth. It is also significant to note that tuition at the Criswell College is only 1/4 of the cost of a Baptist college with the next lowest in tuition. It's a marvelous thing. This enables quality students with limited resources to pursue their studies. And we're producing some of the outstanding pastors in key pulpits across the nation. During this time of source, not only and besides, conservative professors have been added at many college, universities, and agencies from our school. It's a miracle. It's an amazing thing. It's something God has done. And to have a part in it, to pray for it, and to support it is truly one of the many, many marvelous, glorious things of life. Oh, God. Oh, God. Now I want to take a little facet of that in the moment that I have and share it with you. Naturally, in a congregation like ours, 28,000 members, you're going to find people that look askance upon anything that you do. So they look askance upon this, negative. So they say to me, now when the college moves out of your Spurgeon Harris building and they go to the campus in East Dallas, you've got room over there. You have space over there. You don't need that 505 North Irby building. That's just wasted money. You're going to have space over there in that Spurgeon Harris building where the college is now located. Well, I didn't know what to say. So this past week, I made inquiry about it. What are we going to do when the college moves out of the Spurgeon Harris building? What are we going to do with that space? Well, here's what I learned. The space is the 10th floor of the Spurgeon Harris building. The rest of that building is already used. It's only the 10th floor that'll be vacated. That's where the Wallace Library is located. Found out also that's where Louis Pantoja has his Filipino chapel, and I thought that was a permanent thing. This morning, Pantoja, the pastor of that Filipino chapel, said, no, that's just temporary there. We're going over into the 505 North Irby building, and there they're building us a permanent chapel. Every Sunday at this hour, we have a Filipino service, gloriously blessed of God. Well, anyway, the 10th floor will be vacated. And what are you going to do with it? Well, I didn't know. I didn't know how to answer. So this week, the headmaster of our First Baptist Academy said to me, he said, Pastor, I'm not speaking about the elementary school, these little children. They're down here in the heart of Dallas. And for the most part, the small children that are brought to our elementary school are people who work downtown, and they bring the children with them, and they're here. But he said, Pastor, let me tell you something. There is no limit, he said, to how big we can make our high school. He said, there are increasing numbers of people who are disillusioned with the public school system, and they're taking their children wherever there's opportunity, where they can be taught the Word of God and can be brought up in a Christian school. And he said, Pastor, the very minute that you locate, that you vacate that 10th floor of the Spurgeon Harris building, that minute we want to take it over. Our high school wants to take it over, and we'll keep on building that high school. And he said, repeated, there's no limit to how big we can build that First Baptist Academy High School. The academy has a marvelous reputation among the people. 65% of the youngsters that attend it don't come to our church at all. There's no limit, he says to it. And my heart is thrilled at the prospect of taking these young men and women, these teenagers in school, and teaching them the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. To pray, to have services, to win them to Christ. It's something God has done. He's done it. I never thought of such a thing. And the Lord God whispered and said to me, these things shall be, nor help shall come from the scarlet skies till my people rise. Till my people rise, my arm is weak. I cannot speak till my people speak. When men are dumb, my voice is dumb. I cannot come till my people come. From over the flaming earth and sea, the cry of my people must come to me. Not till their spirit break the curse, may I claim my own in the universe. But if my people rise, if my people rise, I will answer them from the swarming skies. When we rise to meet God's call and God's challenge, God answers from the very heavens themselves. I can't believe what God is doing. And I repeat, as I said last Sunday, what amazes me is that he's doing this now, when I'm beyond 80 years of age, to thrust upon us all of these marvelous challenges and calls and ministries. It is a miracle of God to me. May I close? Who is to respond to this appeal? Everybody. From the least and the poorest to the most affluent. Everybody. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And there came a certain poor widow, and she cast in 2 mites, that's less than a penny, which make a farthing. Jesus called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, truly, verily, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than they all, for they out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. I learned something listening to the voice of God in what Jesus said. There was a time in my life when I sought to dissuade poor people from responding. They needed it. Oh, God, in a providence I haven't time to describe, I learned differently, and I should have, from reading the Word of God. The poorer we are, the more God is pleased when we give. Why didn't the Lord say to that poor widow here, you keep that, you need it. Instead, the Lord commended her. Told the disciples how wonderfully blessed she was. That's God's will for us too. The poorer we are, the more we'll give. Everybody respond. Everybody respond. Everybody. The pastor went to visit in an affluent home. The husband had died. And there she was, all of the accoutrements of wealth and influence and affluence around her, just everywhere. And complain complain about everything. 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 In the providences of God, the pastor went to a poor home, a widow who was left with a little house full of little children. Went there to see if she had enough to eat, enough to feed the family. And she said to the pastor, "Oh, pastor, God is providing. I take in sowing, and I have more sowing than I can do. Touched my heart. My mother took in sowing to put me in school. My mother sewed at that machine. She said, I have more sowing than I can do. God is so good." Had a prayer. Closed the door. And as the pastor left, above the sound of the sewing machine, the humming of the sewing machine, you could hear her voice as she sang. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. Lord God in heaven, if I am ever down and discouraged, Lord, help me to remember. God purposes some marvelous thing for me. And in that confidence, we'll face every trial, every discouragement, every loss, every disappointment, believing that the Lord hath provided some better thing for us. He will take care. Oh, bless His name forever. And to you who have listened to this service, look to God in faith and in trust. He'll be the dearest friend and helper you will ever have or could ever know in human life. There's a telephone on the screen. If you don't know how to accept Jesus as your Savior, call that number. There will be a dedicated, consecrated man or woman who will answer and show you how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And someday, dear fellow pilgrim, I'll see you in glory. And to the great throng in God's house this holy and precious hour, in the balcony round, down a stairway, in the press of people on this lower floor, down one of these aisles, Pastor, today we made our decision for Christ and here we stand. A family you, a couple you, one somebody you. God bless, and angels attend in the way as you come while we stand and while we sing.